plan for everybody and ended up silly some. So I mention that because that's the merger business, and we all have a merger business, because you're all working on selling yourself and selling whatever products or programs or ideas that you have. That's really what you're doing. And it helps if you got an idea of what to do. But at any rate, after that, I was asked by a friend to consider becoming president of a medical computer company. I knew nothing about medical computers, zero. He said, this was a group of gentlemen that had put this company together, excellent software, bad hardware, and very bad business plan. They were all from NASA, the Lewis Research Center in Cleveland, and they had some great stuff going on. But the executive banker was all right. I went to work there, president, and became, the company became an IBM value-added dealer for the healthcare industry, the only one in the United States. Obviously, we got a lot of traction out of that. The value of the company increased rather significantly. Part of my contract was that I got 100,000 shares of stock, which I got was worthless, and ultimately sold the company to New York Stock Exchange Company. Had a chance to go through the experience of, you know, 800 shareholders, 800 shareholders. They call up and ask questions about the guy who called me 15 minutes before we're asked. This is an aggregation. I'm not saying it's wrong, it was an aggregation. So, a good payday. I went on from there. By that time, I moved out of Cleveland area and moved to Catawba, and I was thinking about not working anymore. I got a place, actually, I had a condo at the Catawba Island Club, and I decided to stay there for a couple of years and figure out what I wanted to do. The commissioners from the county came to me and asked me to consider being an economic development director. I said, okay. So I did that out of county for a few years, during which time I traveled around, obviously, as part of the Ohio. And I realized that there was another chance for me. I bought some property in the Carver area, and I developed a 34-lot subdivision. Built three or four homes. I didn't experience this. None of it is that complicated. You can make yourself crazy if you make too big a deal. There is, however, I take it aside, there is, however, a lesson here. That is that when you're looking for the people who help you, accountants, attorneys, bankers, the fundamental rule, this is the gospel, is to be sure that you get the best you can get. You don't want to pay the money for them, make a deal with them. You just get started, you need some help, so forth and so on, but get the best you can. Because that'll make a gigantic difference in how things go for you. And you need people that can give you the right answers, as opposed to finding somebody brother-in-law that's an attorney and wants to tell you the stuff that he thinks you want to hear. I always knew people that were willing to look me in the eye and tell me where I was wrong. That saved me a whole lot of grief. At any rate, I sold that subdivision, and to give you an idea how this works, in the entrepreneurship business, you have a chance to make a lot of money, but you also have a chance to not make a lot of money. And a regular income level almost never happens. I've had good days, bad days. I've had good years and bad years. Fortunately, I had the good years before I had the bad year. My best year, my gross was over $1 million. Sold some properties and so forth. The following year, my gross was in the $25,000. So, started adding those together. you about it. I had a holding business, which I passed the catalog around, that really indicates to you what really is the clothing business and many other businesses right now. That catalog is my catalog, but it's also many people's catalog. It's done by a distributor. But now, clothing business is no longer the individual company. There's still some out there who have their own catalog. But there's thousands of items in that book. And I pass that around to customers. They buy from me because there's no other address contact with me. But the distributor's pretty good. I get them for free because I do a lot of business. And they, then when I get the catalogs, they call up, order, so forth and so forth. And I ship, maybe directly from the factory or from the distributor, invoice them accordingly. I did Cedar Point for over 20 years, had them. All their uniforms, big. The mathematics on that is real simple. The mathematics is that I took a much lower percentage than you would expect. The Cedar Point, I took 10%. The interesting part is I did the whole thing myself. I had no employees with it. And the orders were so big that the work was done at the factory, the ordering was done there, and you shipped directly to one of the 11 departments. And so I was doing the invoice. There was a couple weeks a year that worked a lot at it, that would work late, start early, and that whole thing. But that was really all. I would call on some point and the design people and decide what this next season was going to be, what they needed for this restaurant, that bar, so forth, so on. But I take it at 10%. Everybody else is doing it at 10% because they were all coming with corporate planes and so forth, flying into Sandusky, trying to get the building. And realize that there's a best price. I had the best price. Now, the 10% was all mine. So, not bad. And it worked out very well. They order in January, December and January. They don't order the rest of the year. And they ship pretty much everything in March, April, and they wear no space store. They don't have many reorders, some. And so it really is an amazing process because the dollar amounts I bring your attention to saying, I teach you to do now. I always have the kids there write down a saying, but it's absolutely the gospel that applies to entrepreneurship. And that is that if I keep doing what I've been doing, I'm going to keep getting what I've got. Twice everything. So be very careful if you have a business, starting a business, and so forth. Be very careful that you're paying attention, and if it's not working, don't fall in love with your idea. If it's not working, don't keep doing it. The saying is, you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. All that stuff. And you have to be aware of what's going on in the country, what's going on in the market, and what's going on in your particular business. There's some other things happening that are a challenge for you guys. I heard on CNN on the way out here, there's a news conference with President Francis Macron and with President Putin. And in that conference, it was brought up by CNN that in this country now, and there are people in here who probably don't like Trump, probably do like him. It doesn't make a difference if they like him or not. He happens to be President of the United States. And we have the lowest unemployment rate that we've had in decades. We have the highest stock market that we've ever had. We have the lowest unemployment rate for the African American community in history. The lowest unemployment rate for the Hispanic community in history that we have one of the lowest unemployment rates for women a couple generations back. So you may or may not like it. It really doesn't make any difference. These are some of the things that are going well. And he's going to be there. Now, it's going to be the same kind of nonsense that goes on back and forth. And I'm not suggesting that he's the second coming. But he is what would be absolutely typical of a hardcore New Yorker, born and raised in the city. He's in your face, says things that you can't believe he's going to say. And he is hardcore. That's who he is. That's who he elected. With an assist from Hillary Clinton. There was a weak candidate in the Democratic Party who should have been, should have had the whole thing. Oh, and by the way, just as part of this awareness thing, I bring your attention to the fact that you need to, I read something in the Wall Street Journal not that long ago about foundations. The Clinton Foundation, their percentage of the money that they give away, 16%. By far the lowest by a lot. Nobody else was below 50%. The rest of it goes for expenses and salaries. I don't care what they do, and I don't care what they do with the money. I'm telling you, you need to be aware. A couple of other things you have to be aware of. You are part of the less than 50% of the population that is paying, working to pay for the more than 50% of the population that isn't working. And or is on the cake at some level. I don't know how to reverse that. You get into all this stuff about politics and so forth, there's no point in discussing whether Republicans or Democrats, they're all doing a bad job. Oh, wait, we're in debt to the amount of $22 trillion, some number like that. Anybody know what a trillion dollars is? Is there any possibility we're ever going to pay that back? Yes or no? Are we going to keep adding to it? Can't see any reason to stop. So, as we go through this whole thing, it can make it easier. Because I don't see the way out. But you guys are the ones that are, I hope, are very successful. Because I'm not at the point where I can contribute to what that means. Still have the bullying vision, I'm still doing fine. I teach most of the days of the week. I enjoy teaching is because I don't want to drink coffee with the old guys in McDonald's. And I don't, I enjoy the energy level. I went actually to the high school for the next 3 days of the student. That's different. I taught for the first time year when I went back to teaching. I taught in Toledo College. Anybody from Toledo? Woodward High. Whoa. I never even been to that place like that. Lockdown building every period, every day. Fights every day. Every day. Everywhere. They recognized the fact that your car wouldn't be there unless they guarded it, so they made you park in a gated lot. The police locked up at the end of the game in the morning, and we all had to meet in the lobby 10 minutes after the last bell, and the police would walk us to the lot, unlock the gate, and we'd drive home. Now, I taught the second semester at Leverett Middle School. There's something for you to work on. I had eighth graders who were homeless. Homeless! It's 15 minutes from here. An eighth grader is 13, living in all night laundromats. It's a disgrace. Now, do you have to fix that? Do you fix it or pay for it? Or both? I have no idea. I used to volunteer to go in from this area. I used to volunteer to go in on snow days and holidays to have the kids, the homeless kids come in, and take a shower, get warmed up, give them lunch, send them back at the end of the day with oranges, apples, peanut butter sandwiches, whatever I could find. And halfway home, I'm swearing out loud in the car the fact that I was the fool, I was the enabler. That these kids should be taken care of by the people in the neighborhood. You know, the kid next door is homeless. But Otto, somebody else's cousin. Is that fixable? I really don't think so. Because it's gone on now, we're in the second or third generation of that nonsense, and it's not getting better. Now we got kids that were homeless growing up, but are now raising their own kids. What kind of idea do you think they have? These are things that you're going to have to work on, and or pay for, probably, and. We elect politicians. Embarrassing. But again, always remember the voting list that they deserve. We go out there and we elect people because, let's see, well, I'm not sure who won. It is endless. So, there are a lot of other things going on. One of the buildings that I'm getting off this subject, one of the buildings that I put in the industrial park in Avon Lake was a gymnastics school. The reason I put a gymnastics school in there is because I built a spec building, 10,000 square feet, 100 by 100, created near metal building, and I put a jogging track behind it just because I enjoy jogging. We're around this thing, and I did that. And a young man pulls in one day when I'm at this building walking around trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And he goes up and introduces himself. He's a All-American gymnast from the University of Michigan. He's looking for a place to put a building. A gymnastics school. He said, well, sure. He said, would you consider it a gymnastics school? I said, sure. It's a non-conforming use in the industrial park. I knew the various city officials there. I could do this fast. So he talked me into the fact that putting a gymnastics school in there would be a great idea. And I did. He said, sure, let's do that. He said, I forgot to mention to you, that's after I went to the city and the pool, I don't have any money for this. So he said, can you help me get started? I said, well, what do you mean? So he told me, and it was more than I thought it would be, yeah, we can do something. So I helped him. I kept the gymnastics for 2 years and sold it back to what I put it in. And he leased the building from me for about 15 years. And the school still exists today. It's been extremely successful. And is a, it's been a community type plus. You know, kids coming there, after school, etc., etc. So, there are opportunities and things for you everywhere. I had a ride at the single largest employer in the state of Ohio. It was interesting how that place operates because 57,000 employees, by far the largest employer. They had open heart surgery 10 years ago. Big deal. Scary when they tell you it's going to happen. I have no complaints of any kind. But I can remember asking the, and asked the cardiologist, if the world's greatest heart surgeon was the greatest place. Can you see this? I said, that's the guy I'm talking about. He said, let me see if I can arrange it. So they flew around the room. He said, you got it. I gave him a date, time. There are 25 open heart surgeries done at the Cleveland Clinic every day. there are, on average, an additional 5 emergencies that are done every day. There are 18 cardiothoracic surgeons, and there are 14 operators. Very modern, very impressive operating theory. And the interesting thing about that is, when I asked him, the surgeon who did this, I asked him if he would agree to the world's greatest host. And he said, yes, I am. But he said, I have a secret. He said, we schedule 25 open heart surgeries a day. And he said, the prep team and the recovery team, they're really the best thing. So there's a message there where you need to be sure that you are looking for, before, the best you can get. But to put it together, another interesting thing, you're so well known and respected that they get resumes from all over the world. Pick of a litter. And what they do, the doctor explained to me, we sit up on the surgical floor, every one of the nurses that's there, everyone is earning well in excess of $100,000 a year. And half of the surgical nurses on the heart cardiac floor have a PhD in nursing and are regressive doctors. They're probably earning more than $250,000. The guy at the chairman of the department that did my surgery brought in from Johannesburg, South Africa, had $1.5 million a year. So all of these areas that we talk about, and as you look at, and what if, can I, should I, all that stuff, the opportunities are endless. You will all do very well. It's your own fault if you don't, because the opportunities are there, and you are really the chosen ones, because you're in that less than 50%. Now you can screw it up a couple of ways. I had a son-in-law who was at Lincoln Electric in Cleveland. Lincoln Electric is the largest single producer and creator of welding equipment and supplies. And worldwide, there at Lincoln Electric in the city of Cleveland, they cannot fill enough jobs to get all the orders covered. Because they cannot get enough people to pass the orders. Out of every 10 that you get, 30%. Now, it's not Lincoln Electric that's controlling that, it's their insurance company, which is the case for our country. Insurance companies are not going to let you have people doing drugs in your business, and they're not going to cover it. So the insurance company is requiring the drug testing. What is the issue? In the problem unit. I don't know. I'm at an age, I'm a senior. Because of my age, that's something we've talked about. And all their communities. And it's a big problem. Big problem is I'm trying to get worse. I am in the Elmore area, and there the biggest plant in Cheerios, that's well. There's a lot of government for it. We're really young, so the tax is used for a lot of armaments and so forth. They have 13 positions that are open right now. The lowest paying one is 65, and the highest paying one is 13 is 85. And they can't get people for those positions because they can't give them the drug test. And son-in-law, who is a big deal in Texas, vice president of Frito-Lay right now, soon to be Mexican World Headquarters, they have the same problem. It's all over the place. I have no idea. You certainly have a better idea than I do. And if there's a solution, system isn't working very well. And I have no idea what this will be. President gets in trouble because he doesn't want people coming across the Rio Grande River at night and coming into the country. I got that. Now, people, if he's picking on immigrants and so forth, the legal right to want the people coming into your country to, for you to have an idea who they are, is not unreasonable. But we think that that's not fair. There is nothing to do with it. There's an endless list of things for you to look at. And so, I don't know what the right answer is to all this stuff. I have other types of companies and businesses. I've got a couple of other things that I'm working on right now. I'm really very fortunate because I enjoy what I do, and I would encourage you to do the things that you want. If you don't get involved in stuff you like, it's not good. I'm beginning my 80th year, and I'm able to work every day. I enjoy teaching and so forth because I don't want to hang around people my age that are waiting to die. I'm not good. And so, I'm here and I'm teaching, or I'm a fairly large shipping enterprise here this week. And so, there's a lot of stuff for you. And every one of you can do the same thing. There's no reason for you not to be successful. Sometimes we can hear that really a very nice place. How many of you have seen this? It's a fairly nice place in the middle of America. Nice, relatively safe environment. Good background, good teaching, good education, good socialization, etc. And not a lot of crazy stuff going on. I even made peace with the parking people here. Which, I got the young lady's attention over here when I referred to them as a parking stop. She took that person. I was surprised to find out this time when I got pregnant today that the whole thing is virtual. I paid over there and my license some places at the computer and I look at it, it's okay. But then they said to me, I said, probably I'm going to go to the old Saturdays and get dinner. And then they told me all the places I couldn't park. But I'm going to the old. I'll be fine. So nonetheless, I passed around some catalogs, and it's because something that you can look at in an area of industry that you like. Let's take, for example, it might be it might be cosmetics. There are distributorships in all of those areas that you can hunt down, and you can get the same kind of arrangement. What looks like a gigantic product line, and you don't have to invest anything. And if you tell it nice to them, you can probably get the catalogs for free. And then you're in business. Who makes the calls? I've always been, me personally, of calling on them personally. I'm not one who likes to sales calls on the internet because I'm not comfortable. So I make a call first, when I flew to Germany. I used to sell varsity jackets in Dubai. How do you think that would be possible? Varsity jackets were made by Holloway down in Jackson Center in the States. And in Dubai, varsity jackets are a fashion item. And where I would sell them here, for $125, I get $250 for a new garage. Shouldn't leave that much to go there. And it's just, there was nobody else selling varsity jackets. Because I'm sure nobody thought, there's no way that I can sell a varsity jacket. Why? Amazing. My daughter and son-in-law, the Pepsi, spent 3 years in Japan. I was there for 1 week. Visiting them, I was fairly unimpressed. Places, some of the stuff that you look at, is truly breathtaking. But the last building in Dubai is the last building in Dubai. From there on to the horizon, it's sand in the desert. They bring in a lot of people from third world countries to work. Sri Lanka, etc. My daughter had a lot of difficulty getting accustomed to the idea of health in the house. They have a fairly good sized house. And she had a gal that was recommended to whoever who was from Sri Lanka. Nice gal. And so it's lunch. He had 3 days. My daughter, housekeeper, 3 days. That's fine. But lunchtime, when they're making up sandwiches in the kitchen, and my daughter realizes that they have 6 plates in there. And she says to the housekeeper, we've got one too many. The housekeeper said, no, no, my husband can't find a job. So he's sitting out by the pool. I'm going to get him there. Now, there's nothing wrong with her husband. There's nothing wrong with her either. But none of you in this room would think, I can't get a job. I'm going to go sit by the pool and wait for the food to lunch. Didn't we? But to her and him, it was okay. I don't know what you're going to do. What do you do for me? There were other issues, but when you run into those kinds of things, then you run into all those. Any questions or comments? Nice to be with you. Wish you all the best.